Welcome to the Closing Market Report. It's August the 17th, 2007. I'm Todd Gleason. In a few moments, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Mike Zuzulo of Risk Management Commodities Incorporated. He's out of Lafayette, Indiana. And later in the program, we'll discuss the cash grain market with Bruce Bostard, the manager of the Ludlow Co-op Elevator Company out of Ludlow, Illinois. Dave Dickey, of course, will be along in a moment, too, with all the agricultural news. And then we'll hear from Don Nordby, weed scientist at the University of Illinois, about the two glyphosate-resistant weeds in the state of Illinois. It's all on this Friday edition of AM 580's Closing Market Report.
The Closing Market Report is made possible by AgriGold Hybrids, funding agricultural programming as an additional service to the many AgriGold customers in the AM 580 listening area. AgriGold, the corn after corn specialists. Information on the web at agrigold.com or by contacting Regional Sales Manager Scott Williamson at 217-778-6485 for a representative nearest you.
In Chicago on this Friday afternoon, futures finished the day like this. The nearby September wheat at $6.72, down a penny today. December gained a penny at $6.88.5. September corn futures, 328.5, 7 cents higher. December futures up 6.75 at 345.75. In March at $3.60, up 5.75. Next year's December corn, $3.90.75, up 3.75. September contract in the bean pit at $8.11.5, up 12.25 this afternoon. November beans were up 13.25 at $8.27.75, and the January is at $8.42.75, were 12.5 cents higher. November beans, $8.49, a nickel higher. September bean meal futures, $2.18.80, unchanged on the afternoon. September bean oil, up 89 at $35.39. From the Mercantile Exchange, August live cattle, $91.95 a hundredweight, $1.55 higher. October futures up $1.77.5 at $95.47.5. And the August feeder cattle at $116.42.5 were 87.5 cents higher. September futures at $116.87.5 were up $1.55. Lean hog futures 30 cents higher at $67.27.5 for the afternoon. From the crude oil futures, nearby September contract at $71.85, up 85 cents a barrel at this hour. The CRB index at 306.08, that's up 4.81. And the now Dow Jones Industrial Average now stands at 13,017, and it's up just about 170 points for the hour.
Todd Gleason services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
Joining us now to take a look at what happened at the Chicago Board of Trade and the Mercantile Exchange, and maybe just as importantly in the outside markets from the Fed, is Mike Zuzulo of Risk Management Commodities Incorporated in Lafayette, Indiana. Mike, we started yesterday during the Closing Market Report by talking about the Dow Jones Industrial Average. Let's go to the Fed today because they handed a little help to the financial markets and to what was happening in Chicago this afternoon.
Yeah, it really did. And I think the way we looked at it, Todd, was by them coming in and changing the rate and lowering the rate that the banks could lend to each other without changing the federal fund target rate, they weren't forcing other central banks around the world to have to adjust to what we were doing. And it was kind of a smart move, in our view, to leave the Fed fund rate alone. And that way, the rest of the central banks in the world wouldn't get shaken up, and the financial markets around the world wouldn't get shaken up as much, we don't think. And it did help provide some liquidity and make the market understand that Bernanke, as an academic, everybody was starting to wonder whether he was going to stay in the quote-unquote ivory tower and step onto terra firma or not, and he definitely did, and it seemed like he made a real nice move here. It's really going to help. The biggest question is it going to help the commodity funds that are already on margin? And the only thing that really helps people that are on margin, if they can't get additional lines of credit and their clients are asking for money back out of these, you know, high, used to be high yielding funds, high management fee funds, if they can't get credit back, then the best thing, the only thing that can really help you on margin is when the market shoots up and goes back in your favor in a very short period of time. So that's really what these funds want, especially in Chicago. But kind of showed me that it could be that some in Chicago earlier this week that we talked to were saying, you know, the second shoe's going to drop. We're in the eye of the hurricane. We're only halfway through it right now. It may have been that bad because for the Fed to act like they did, maybe it was going to get a lot worse before it got a lot better. So certainly we're relieved at the end of this week.
You did explanation. Just can you further Talk about that and just exactly what it is that the Fed managed to move?
Yeah, they lowered the lending rate that banks charge each other. And that was the core problem, was banks and credit markets were tightening and freezing up because the bond markets that a lot of these mortgage-backed securities were in went from a decent rated bond to junk status, and that meant they had next to no value and were pretty much the riskiest asset class out there. And so the bond market forced the credit markets to tighten, the credit markets forced the banks to tighten, and loans just weren't getting pushed through like you would think. Even with good assets and good credit ratings, banks would not lend to corporations and companies and funds. And so what the Fed tried to do here today was say, okay, banks, we're going to not ding you as much if you loan to each other, and that way you can pass that on to the people that you're dealing with or keep it for yourself, but just get the money flowing again. And most importantly, they said, we'll come back in if we need to. You know, without saying it, that's how the market took it. And so they're saying to themselves, what we charge banks is 5 3/4 or 5 1/4. We went down to 5 3/4 on what banks charge themselves. We can go down all the way to 5 1/4 if we need to on what banks charge themselves and make the federal fund rate and the discount rate the same thing.
And so it was kind of a soft landing sort of thing, I would think.
I think that's what they're trying to do, yeah, provide liquidity without shocking the world and making the market think that the other central banks around the world are going to have to start cutting their interest rates or their federal fund rate is their equivalent of their federal fund rate as well, yeah.
And then the problem, as you outlined when you kept expounding further on, was that if we have hedge funds or index funds that are in margin call and their clientele decide to pull out of that, while they may be taking a heavy margin hit, if enough of them come out, then this market is going to continue to drop.
That's exactly right. And there's even news out there today that, you know, we'll delve more into in the seminars coming up this week, that there are issues still that some hedge funds are expected to get out of long crude oil positions to help offset their losses in the currencies and financials. And so this is helping the financial market heal up. You know, beans were probably the best example of the market was able to turn back towards the weather and the lack of rain. I don't know how many calls we got this week, Todd, from Illinois and Indiana and Ohio saying, why are these markets going down when I'm not going to get any rain? And then when the weather maps changed last night and all the rains that were in western Illinois dried out and nothing came across more than maybe 0.2 inches across those dry areas, the producers out there were just practically livid at the trade yesterday, given that the weather was starting to dry out and the storms were breaking up. So today they were able to move back towards the micro stuff like the weather, and we saw some pretty good commercial buying, commercial short covering, led by the bean oil early on in the morning, picked up by the beans later on, and it even actually spilled over into the corn. It was interesting. I got a BlackBerry right in the close on my email. It said that there was a pretty large commercially affiliated group that bought a pretty large contract, a number of contracts of DS08 corn. So I called up to Chicago and said, what's this all about? And they said, the best we can gather is they're actually starting to play that same game of buying the back end in anticipation of needing acres again. So that was a breath of fresh air compared to what we dealt with earlier this week.
So maybe we'll be back to some of the fundamentals over the harvest season. And whether that's good or bad will be a kind of, I guess I'm indifferent upon, simply in the corn market where there's so much that has to come into this marketplace.
There is. I mean, there is going to be so much variability by area. For people in our line of work, you're going to have to really know the elevator system fairly well and know what the local guy is doing when you're talking to a client and know whether the basis can snap back relatively quickly after that first slug of corn, you know, gets put away in the on farm. And then the balance goes into the commercial storage. We could see some pretty terrific basis appreciations in some areas. I mean, Lafayette would be ranked probably in the top five for us because we're in full dry down right now. We're going to go early. We're thinking it's going to be light test weight. And so we suspect that unless Mother Nature changes and we just rain from here on out, we're going to get done and not have a storage glut at all here. So,
you know, maybe before I let you go today, you'd probably better tell us a little bit more about these seminars that Risk Management Commodities is hosting, and Dave Dickey and Ed Kieser will be involved with, and they're starting tomorrow on that one in West Lafayette. I think it's at the University End. Kicks off at 9 o'clock Eastern time.
Yeah, we're real pleased to have Dave and Ed the Hurricane Keezer come over. We're excited to see him. We're going to really rattle his cage tomorrow on the Hurricanes and have some fun. It's a good chance for clients to let down. We're going to talk a lot about what you and I just went through and try and explain it the best we can. Obviously, we're not going to have all the answers in the world, and it's hard to go more than 3 months out, but it's a nice time to get together with, you know, people from all over. We've got some people from Iowa coming, and obviously Illinois, Indiana, and Western Ohio. It's good to get together and, you know, have a meal together and talk about what's going on. And we'll keep the Northern Illinois guys up there in their own little table so they don't talk about their yields being so good versus the Southern Illinois guys. We'll probably have to do a little, you know, shaking and rattling there too, Todd.
Oh, so this one's $20, but that includes lunch. Are we talking about a three-hour seminar? Is that right?
3 to 4 hours. We're going to have a mini breakfast, and then we're going to have a full buffet lunch. And obviously for clients and subscribers, it's no charge whatsoever. But for the new guys and ladies, we would ask $20 to cover a We'll give a real nice presentation booklet out, too. I think it's around 105 pages, so I think you'll get your bang for your buck.
Good deal. Do they need to call you yet or just show up?
That'd be great. We've got a few extra booklets we printed out, but it'd always be nice if they wanted to call us here in the afternoon. Otherwise, if it's a last-minute thing, we always welcome a half dozen people to just show up.
They're calling this 837-9027 number?
866-837-9027. That's right, sir.
All right. Thanks much.
Thanks, Todd. Have a nice weekend.
You too, man. That's Mike Zuzlow, Risk Management Commodities Incorporated. He's in Lafayette, Indiana, joins us here on the Closing Mark Report. That one happens each and every Friday afternoon.
Agricultural programming on WILL is made possible by Farm Credit Services of Illinois. Farm Credit Services of Illinois has been providing for farmers' credit and insurance needs for over 90 years, including real estate, operating and machinery loans, crop and life insurance protection, and programs for young and beginning farmers.
At the bottom of the hour, we'll talk with Steve Hilberg. He's the director of the Midwestern Regional Climate Center. Our own Ed Keezer says the forecast for the two-state region this evening looks like this. Clear to partly cloudy skies. Lows will range from 52 in the north to 68 in the far southwestern part of the state of Illinois. In the north and west central parts of Illinois tomorrow, increasing cloudiness, some scattered showers, a few thunderstorms arriving. Elsewhere, partly to mostly sunny. Highs tomorrow from 76 in the north to 92 in the far south. The wind speeds generally under 10 miles an hour. The minimum afternoon relative humidity between 40% and 50%. Unsettled weather expected across the Midwest Sunday through next week with periodic clusters of showers and some thunderstorms. In Illinois and Indiana, the timing and location of specific clusters can't yet be determined, says Ed. More with the weather after the bottom of the hour. Here's Dave with the news.
In agricultural news, FDA inspectors say in the past 12 months they have rejected more than 1,330 separate Mexican food shipments, including fresh vegetables, processed foods, and dietary supplements. That's even more refusals than from China. While the FDA rejected 2,031 shipments last year from the PRC, fewer than half contained food products. The PRC says it will send delegations late this month to the U.S. to discuss food and product safety with the FDA and officials from the Consumer Product Safety Commission. Meanwhile, the PRC is rejecting pork from at least 8 U.S. plants, citing the meat contains ractopamine. The drug is used to make pork leaner. The drug is banned in China as well as 160 other nations. There are reports that the U.S. and PRC are discussing the issue. Neil Dirks is CEO of the National Pork Producers Council.
From my perspective, it's a process of consultations, but it'll be the Chinese that will be the determinants of their tolerance levels. At the present time, to my understanding, is the tolerance level is zero for ractopamine, even though it's recognized in all these other countries as a safe product.
Last year, China imported $70 million of U.S. pork. USDA says it expects U.S. ammonia production declines will continue and imports to rise, primarily from Trinidad and Tobago in the short run and Venezuela in the long run. Last year, the U.S. ammonia industry had 3 million tons of unused production capacity, enough to provide ammonia for 10 million additional corn acres. but the additional supply is produced in relatively inefficient, high-cost operations, meaning it can be used economically only at higher prices. From 2000 to 2005, ammonia prices increased 130% from an average of $227 to $521 a ton. USDA has sent a letter to South Korea asking it to resume imports of U.S. beef. The letter was accompanied by a full report of how prohibited material made it into a box of U.S. beef exported to South Korea. Seoul banned U.S. beef 2 weeks ago after inspectors found bones in a shipment. The report attributes the bones to a packing error that resulted in one box being mislabeled as boneless. South Korea has already responded to the report, asking for additional information. Greg Dowd is chief economist for the National Cattlemen's Beef Association.
What Korea did was actually halt the issuance of import licenses, which in trade speak, that means we knew going in that this was going to be just a temporary situation until the Koreans could get information from USDA on what had transpired here. That information has been provided to the best of my understanding, and I believe that hopefully here in just a few days, we should know where we stand with the Koreans, and I believe the Koreans very much want to get to a point where we have all of this resolved and we get to an OIE situation here, which means unrestricted trade in beef, hopefully sometime in the next 30 to 60 days.
In July, the U.S. shipped 16 million pounds of beef to South Korea. And that's a look at today's agricultural news.
Hey, thanks, Dave. Dave Dickey, of course, your Director of Agricultural Programming here at the WILL radio stations. I'm University of Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason, the host of the Closing Market Report and Commodity Week, reminding you to visit our website, the address, willag.org. That's willag.org. There you can pick up MP3 files of our daily ag programming or sign up to have them delivered as a podcast directly to your computer. You can find our schedules there as well. We're pretty busy with ag panels out and about across the two-state region this month and next month and just right into the beginning of the harvest season. Tomorrow, Dave Dickey, the Director of Ag Programming, along with Chief Meteorologist from the station, Ed Kieser, will be in West Lafayette, Indiana, starting at 9 o'clock Eastern Time. There's a lunch with this one. It's a longer-than-average meeting sponsored by Risk Management Commodities. Chuck Shelby and Mike Zuzolo will be on the panel there, along with Tom Frentz of EFG. This one costs $20, and you do need to RSVP to 866-837-9027. All that information on our website at willag.org. Well, up next, speaking of busy, farmers will be heading into the field for the harvest season very shortly. As they do that in the state of Illinois, they may find something they don't like. There'll be some glyphosate-resistant weeds out there this harvest season. They'll need to take care of those this fall if they possibly can, but they won't be able to do it with everything. They may have to come back next spring with some interesting types of mechanical removal. We'll hear more from Don Nordby, weed scientist, right here on the U of I campus. When the combines finally roll this fall, farmers in Illinois may encounter a couple of herbicide-resistant weeds.
We actually have two. We have glyphosate-resistant mare's tail, or horseweed, and now we have glyphosate-resistant water hemp.
That's weed scientist Dawn Nordby. She's been on the circuit this summer at places like the Illinois State Fair talking about how to control all types of weeds. At the fair, she targets consumers and their lawns, but when she gets in front of a group of farmers, the speech turns to just one thing. They usually ask one question: how long will it take before weeds in Illinois become resistant to glyphosate? They usually say Roundup.
The mare's tail took approximately from 1997 to 2003, and now it's 2007, and we have glyphosate-resistant water hemp.
It's a problem, and one Illinois farmer should look for this fall in their corn and soybean fields. The good news is that there's something that can be done about the mare's tail, sometimes called horseweed, after harvest is complete.
With the glyphosate-resistant horse, weed fall-applied herbicides and spring burn-downs are our best means for controlling those weeds. Since horseweed is a winter annual, it emerges in the fall, and so therefore fall-applied herbicides work really well. The effective of those two programs towards water hemp is none at all. The water hemp emerges in the early in spring and then throughout the summer. And so our best option is to use a pre-emergence herbicide to kind of take the pressure off of our post-emergence applications. And so our best means for controlling glyphosate-resistant water hemp is a pre-emergence followed by a timely post-emergence application.
That's where the tricky part comes into play. There are plenty of herbicide options to control glyphosate-resistant water hemp in corn, but no really good options for soybeans. It may mean the return of some farm nostalgia. The soybean walking crew could make a comeback next summer to control glyphosate-resistant weeds. For University of Illinois Extension, I'm Todd Gleason.
This is Station Manager Jay Pierce. You may have received a letter from me recently about our digital radio plans. I hope you'll read it and give generously to move this project forward and receive a new digital radio as our thank you gift. With your help, WILL will go digital in early 2008. That's very good news for public radio listeners in Southwest Champaign, Mahomet, Monticello, and towns further west and south. With our new digital antenna and your new radio, you'll be able to hear our news and information programs loud and clear even after we reduce power for the night on AM 580. There are many benefits of digital radio, but we think for thousands of WILL AM listeners, the ability to hear us in the early morning hours and after sundown is a powerful reason to go digital. The sooner the better. To receive a copy of my letter, please call Donda Beard at 217-333-1070. And thanks for supporting our digital radio project at WILL Urbana.
You're listening to the Closing Market Report. I'm Todd Gleason. This is WILL Urbana. I'm reminding you now to visit our website at WILLAG.org. That's willag.org. We're not on the air in the evenings, but certainly you can hear the ag programming if you'd like, because you can pick up those MP3 files from most of the ag programming throughout the day or have it delivered to you as a podcast right to your computer. That's at WILLAG.org. Well, this afternoon, Bruce Bostert of the Ludlow Co-op Elevator Company, and I'm sure he told me this last Friday, but I didn't recall that he would be away this afternoon, so we won't have a cash grain segment. That's okay, because we can give you a quick update of what the numbers look like from the Chicago Board of Trade before we hit the regional newscast. As a reminder, corn futures were up 7 cents this afternoon at 328.5, and the SEPs December's at 345.75 were up 6.75. Nove beans at 827.75 were up 13.25. For this year, for next year, they were up a nickel at $8.49. 2 minutes, we'll talk with meteorologist Steve Hilberg, rather climatologist Steve Hilberg, about the agriculture weather forecast, and your regional newscast does come up next.
With this look at AM 580 News, I'm Tom Rogers. President Bush says the nation is stronger because of Dennis Hastert's service in Congress. Today, Hastert announced he won't seek re-election, and the president issued a statement praising the Illinois Republican's tenure. Bush called Hastert a good and decent man who was a strong and effective speaker. Hastert's 8-year term as Speaker of the House was the longest for a Republican. The president this morning said Hastert has improved the lives of Americans, and he touted Hastert's work to reduce taxes, improve education, and bolster national security. There could be another Congressman LaHood heading to Washington. The 39-year-old son of Representative Ray LaHood says he's close to making a decision to run for his father's seat. Darren LaHood is currently an attorney in Peoria. A soldier from Danville who was killed while serving in Iraq will be remembered at funeral services in Urbana next week. Army Specialist Justin Penrod was killed last Saturday in Baghdad. Visitation will take place next Friday afternoon and evening at Urbana Assembly of God, with the funeral taking place at 11 a.m. the next day. Substitute teachers are an increasingly valuable commodity for Illinois school districts. As students prepare to head back to class, districts are offering incentives from gift certificates to job training to lure subs. In Illinois, the number of new teacher certificates has increased 6% a year since 2001, but the state says the number of substitute certificates is only up 2% a year. The situation is so bad in two districts north of Chicago that officials there want lawmakers to lift a 90-day limit on hiring the same sub. Marcus Wolf of Gurnee subbed in six northern Illinois districts and worked about 165 of the school year's 180 days last year. He says good pay helps, but the best incentive is a sub-friendly environment. For the first time, Champaign's Downtown Festival of the Arts is being truly held downtown. The intersection of Neal and Main will be blocked off for tomorrow's fourth annual event, which until now is held at Westside Park. But a festival spokeswoman says this year organizers wanted to take advantage of a revitalized downtown area. She says it also gives the festival a different flavor from the Taste of Champaign, which is held at Westside Park every June. The Downtown Festival of the Arts ends tomorrow night with Champaign's final Street Fest concert of the year. I'm Tom Rogers, AM 580 News.
I'm Todd Gleason, AM 580 Agriculture. This is the Closing Market Report on a Friday afternoon. We're joined, as we always are, by Steve Hilberg. He's the director of the Midwestern Regional Climate Center at the Illinois State Water Survey, located right here in Champaign County. Good afternoon to you, Steve.
Good afternoon, Todd.
So it's 83 degrees outside on Friends Plaza here on the U of I campus. Awfully comfortable compared to what we've been suffering through.
Yeah, we're going to see a really nice break this weekend, at least for most of the weekend, from the heat and humidity. Temperatures will not only average near normal, but maybe a bit below for a change. What will really be nice is overnight lows will get down to the upper 50s and low 60s. We're already seeing dew points in the mid to upper 40s in northern Illinois, and they're dropping to around 60 here in the central part of the state. So they'll continue dropping on those north winds, and we'll have some very comfortable weather for the weekend. By late Sunday, we'll start to see the return of southwesterly winds and probably the return of the humidity. But the good news is probably not the extreme heat.
Can you tell me where it is that over the past 24 hours most of the rain has fallen?
Well, actually, most of the rain fell south of here. We had some good rain across central Illinois from roughly Cass County on across. There was some good rain there. There's been spotty showers off and on and thunderstorms off to the east. And further north during earlier in the week, they had some good rain across northern Indiana and northern Ohio. But the story of this last couple of weeks is rain's either been all in one place or very spotty. And we still have a pretty, what I'd like to call an odd-looking pattern of rainfall across the Midwest right now, and with the northern areas getting a lot in some areas, and then basically the southern half of the Midwest being pretty dry.
And I talked to some farmers on Thursday at Agronomy Day from the Pontiac area. They said they'd had 10 inches in the last 3 weeks.
Yeah, it's been some areas have really gotten a lot. And, you know, like around here in central Illinois and Champaign County, we've had anywhere from a quarter inch, and like where I'm living, to up to 2 inches in some places. So it's been sort of the case. And it's actually been reflected a lot. I mean, the crops are starting to suffer from some of the lack of moisture, especially in the southern half of the region. We saw declines of about 2 bushels per acre in our corn model this week, with the biggest declines in Illinois and Indiana, with a 4 and 5 bushel per acre decrease. And it's largely weather-driven right now because of the dry weather.
What's it showing for the, I'll call it the region-wide yield at this point then?
The region-wide yield is down to about 152 bushels an acre, I believe, two from last week. We're getting some of the bigger declines were offset by some improvement in the northern Midwest, where they've had some rain in areas. And again, it's really, even up north, Iowa and Minnesota, some areas have gotten plenty of rain, while other parts of those two states are still pretty dry. So it's really a real checkerboard picture this year.
Do you have the soybean number in front of you, too?
Yeah, the soybeans are down just a little bit. Region-wide, they're looking at 44.8 bushels an acre. The decrease from, actually, an increase from last week of about 0.2 tenths of a bushel per acre over the region that's largely rain in the northern Midwest.
All right. We appreciate you being with us for the
day. Okay, Todd.
Thanks much. Steve Hilberg is the director of the Midwestern Regional Climate Center at the Illinois State Water Survey right here in Champaign County, and that is today's Closing Market Report. Remember to join us tomorrow morning at 11:30 a.m. Central Time for Commodity Week. It's our weekly analysis of what's happening in agriculture. If you can't wait, you can always pick it up off of our website at WILLAG. That's willag.org. this evening, just after 6 o'clock. You have a great Friday and a wonderful weekend. I'm Todd Gleason.